We read earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, and it's called the resurrection, but there's something missing from that account, isn't there? You don't read about Jesus. Not in those first 12 verses. You read about an empty tomb. Someone might say, I want to have a testimony of someone who actually saw Jesus walk out of the tomb. Then I'll believe. But you know, not many days before this, there was a dead man who walked out of the tomb with his grave clothes on him, who was seen by myriads of people, and most of them did not believe, though they saw with their own eyes. And Jesus said this in a story he told about a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man wanted Lazarus to go back, that is, come to life again in the world. Then people will believe, the rich man thought. But Jesus said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if they won't hear the word of God, then they won't believe, even if someone should rise from the dead. Well, very early this Sunday, the first day of the week, there were women who went to the tomb where Jesus was laid, and they found no body. And it's on that basis and the subsequent appearances of Jesus, there are some recorded in the rest of this chapter, and there are many recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, many of whom denied the resurrection, that we this morning, and the great message of the Christian church is Christ is risen. And it was the very function of the apostles, who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, to go and proclaim what they had seen. And I want to tell you this morning, of course you expect preaching on this subject, but if it's true that Jesus rose from the dead, it has the most profound implications for you. And this is why many have sought to deny the reality of the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If he didn't rise on the third day, if this is false, then at best Jesus is just another religious teacher whom we may choose to follow or not to follow. More probably, if he didn't rise, then he is a false prophet and a blasphemer. That's the choice you have. But if he rose from the dead, then you must come to terms with him, because he rose from the dead to ever live and be the judge of all the world on the final day, and be your judge and mine. Thus says the word of God, as Paul preached at Athens. So was the tomb empty? Had the body been stolen? Well, there have always been grave robbers even to today, haven't there? Let's examine this account, Luke 24, 1 to 12, and we'll divide it into two. First of all, we've got the women, and then we've got the disciples. Because these women were witnesses to the empty tomb, we're given names of the three of them in verse 10. There's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Two of them actually occur way back in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. They were women who had followed Jesus and ministered to him during his 3 years of ministry. Why were they going to the tomb early on the first day of the week? Was it because they expected to find it empty and he was risen? Not at all. Wasn't because Jesus said he would rise. They had pushed that to the back of their memory. No, these godly and caring women only wanted to do their last duty. They wanted to perform the burial customs of the Jews before the body began to decompose. And other Gospels will tell us that as they went along, they were asking one another, how can we actually get into the tomb? There's a large stone which has been rolled over against the mouth. But when they came, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They found the tomb empty. Of course, you know that there was the story that the disciples had stolen it. You can read that in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. It was an angel that God had sent to roll the stone away. So these women went in. And verse 3, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4 tells us that they were perplexed. They were scratching their heads. They couldn't make sense of this. It's not what they expected. They had no thought of the resurrection, even when they saw the tomb empty. But they see two men, angels, because they're in dazzling apparel, verse 4. And they gently rebuke these women with a question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Those who are living, of course, don't inhabit where the dead are. And they're told to remember what Jesus previously said when he was in Galilee, that the Son of Man must, note that necessity, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Then they remembered, after they had been reminded, and they went to testify to the apostles and all the rest the good news of the empty tomb. Now, will you notice, as regards these women, that faith, their beginning to believe in the resurrection, it came by hearing. They didn't actually see Jesus rise. They saw an empty tomb. And they heard the testimony of two men, two angels, that he's risen. And they were reminded of something Jesus had said that they heard, that he would rise on the third day. Whatever faith these women had before, it was a strong faith in a future resurrection. You might remember it was said by, I think, Mary, that yes, we believe my brother will rise in the last day. That they held on to tenaciously. But to believe in a resurrection now, before the last day, that's something that didn't come to their minds. There were people who saw Jesus rise. We assume the guards that had been sent there. There was a story that they were asleep A little hard to believe, isn't it? Thomas, one of the disciples, later saw Jesus, saw the marks in his hands and his side. But he was rebuked for only believing when he saw. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe, having not seen." So my friends, why do we believe this morning? It's because of the testimony of those who were there at the time. These women, these angels, and then later the disciples. We read the scripture and we believe. Now, if I told you that my friend John, a fictitious person, he died on Tuesday, but this morning he rose from the dead, you wouldn't believe me, would you? You'd never heard of him. But what if there was strong evidence that he had predicted that when I die, I will rise on the third day? And there are records of that, and many witnesses. And what if this was a man, John, who had done many, many mighty things which are inexplicable to an ordinary man? You might begin to question and ask yourself, is there something special about this person? Of course, there is no such person except one. This, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had predicted back in Luke 18. He says, verse 31, after flogging him, that's me, Jesus speaking, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. And he said that over and over again. And he had done such things that caused everyone to wonder and ask the question, who is this? Who is this who can still the storm and say to the winds and the waves, peace be still? Who is this who can raise the dead and do many, many, many mighty works? This is why we believe with all our hearts that he was raised from the dead. That's why the tomb is empty. And that's why we urge every one of you this morning to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living one, who rose again, never to die. So faith comes by hearing, but faith is helped, it's strengthened by remembering. We read verse 8. These ladies, they remembered his words. If only we remembered what we were told, what we read. If they'd remembered, they wouldn't have been going to the tomb with spices, would they? To embalm the body. They would have gone with such a skip in their step, expecting to see the tomb empty. But they had completely forgotten. I'm sure it was at the back of their minds. Jesus said he will rise on the third day. But they couldn't remember it in such a way as to call it to mind for action. And that's what we need to do. That's one of the reasons why we come on a Sunday morning. One of the reasons this morning that we think especially of the resurrection. We need to call it to mind so that we live according to it. You know, if I asked you, did Jesus rise from the dead? You'd say, yes, I believe that. Will he die again? No. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God. What's he doing there? He's ruling. He's praying. And you can answer in the affirmative to all of that, and yet you're downcast. Doesn't make sense, does it? Any more than it makes sense that these women came to the tomb to embalm the body with the spices, and yet he had said, I will rise again on the third day. This then is the importance of being reminded of coming week by week, sitting under the Word of God, of reading the Word of God daily in your home, individually, as a family, of meditation, of memorizing Scripture. Don't archive it to a folder that you almost never call up. Have it right there in your feed, as it were. So constantly you are forced to remember Christ rose from the dead. But one more thing about these women and their faith. Faith makes us witnesses, because these women, it's often pointed out rather too boldly that these women were the first preachers, and of course many people have made so much of that. They say this is why women today can be preachers. But there's no question that the women were the first to find the tomb empty, just as they were the last witnesses at the cross, and they saw where he was buried. And let us say, the Lord gives special blessings to those who show their entire devotion to him. What a privilege it was for them, isn't it? To be the ones with whom the two men, the angels, spoke. And like us all, we are witnesses that Christ is risen. We're not eyewitnesses, but we are witnesses. Based upon what we have read in the Scripture and that we know to be true, we now tell people that Christ is risen. The women then and their faith. What about the 11 whom we read of in verses 9 to 12? Where were they? Well, the Gospel of John tells us that they were behind locked doors for the fear of the authorities. If they did that to Jesus, what on earth are they going to do to us then? And when they heard the testimony of the women, verse 10, so far from expecting the resurrection themselves, they rubbished what the women said. It says, it seemed to them, verse 11, an idle tale. Dr. Luke uses a medical term there of somebody who, when they're in a delirium, just utters nonsense. That is what they considered the testimony of the women to be. But nonetheless, there's one of them, the dear impetuous Peter. When he hears, he runs to the tomb. And what does he find? Luke says he finds the linen cloths by themselves. And obviously no grave robber or disciple in stealing a body would take the time just to neatly fold the clothes up. John in his gospel gives a further detail that the headcloth was folded up in a place by itself. These are little details from eyewitnesses that show that this was not something staged, something that was stolen. And although Peter went home marveling, verse 12, he was still not fully believing. He was exhilarated, but really, isn't it too good to be true? Again, John in his gospel says, as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Do you see that step by step, from having no expectation of the resurrection to believing he was raised, they hadn't seen him yet. They come to the conclusion that the tomb is empty because Jesus has risen from the dead. And if the body had been stolen, and if the authorities especially had taken the body, then they would have produced it to show what a lie it was. Well, they couldn't do that. They had to bribe the soldiers to keep quiet and promise the soldiers that they would be protected from the governor with the usual money offering. I want to remind you that the Gospel of Luke is written to a man called Theophilus, lover of God. He's seeking to write a very accurate account, ordered account, so that this man is totally convinced of the truth of the gospel. And Luke is writing this chapter to make us sure that the tomb was empty because Jesus rose from the dead. If this is true, my friends, which it is, I want to confidently assert to you this morning two things for you to take away. If Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, I want to say to you, everything Jesus said is true. If he said, I'll rise on the third day, if that's true, can there be anything more difficult than that? If that's true, everything is true. When you're alive, you can fake a lot of things and engineer a lot of things, but when you're dead, you can't. And yet, his words proved true. That means when Jesus tells us that he is where two or three gather together in his name, that's true. When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that's true. And we can go through all the promises of the scriptures. They are all true. If Jesus rose, if he ever lives, then everything he said is true. Now there's still one thing to happen, isn't there? And people are questioning. Will he really come back? Is there really a day of judgment? If the resurrection was predicted by him and it's true, we are sure that when he spoke of the judgment as he did in chapter 21 of Luke, verse 35 and 36, for it, that is the day, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is Jesus speaking. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's Jesus. That day is coming when every one of us will have to stand before Him when He returns in glory. So, Christian, He's coming for you. He's coming to take you home. What a hope we have. It's a sure hope because Jesus said so. On that day, He will separate, as He puts it, the sheep from the goats. The sheep who have followed Him, done His will inherit the kingdom, eternal life. But the goats who have refused Him will be cast into eternal punishment. Thus says the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Or is it to you an idle tale? Someone just talking gibberish? Well, I want to say to you, just as Jesus rose, whether people liked it or not, so He will come back to take His people to Himself and to bring final judgment on the wicked. He will do that whether you believe it or you don't believe it. And He's clearly told you the kind of life you must live in order to enter His kingdom and not be cast into hell. Anybody can read it. In the Gospels, it's very clear. You want to be my disciple, Jesus says? Listen to His words. Luke, again, Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Unless you hate your father and mother, your brothers and your sisters, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. In other words, He's saying, follow me. Put me first. Put everything else behind. What I say, do it. What I teach, believe it. Love me. Matthew puts it that way. If anyone loves others more than me, he can't be my disciple. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Why? Because He died for sinners like you. And He rose again from the dead for sinners like you. But that, my friends, is the kind of life that Jesus has said you are to live if you're going to enter glory on that day of judgment. So that's the first assertion I confidently make to you. Everything Jesus said is true because of this. But secondly, because He rose from the dead, everything Jesus came to do, He has fully accomplished. What did He come to do? Well, many are telling us, well, He came to set the example. That's true. He came to teach us the way. That's true. But Jesus came above all to destroy our enemies. That's why He came. It's written, He's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. Our greatest enemy is sin. It's sin that renders us liable to judgment. And Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb to take sin away. Now, as you read a gospel like Luke, there's not a lot of explanation of what happened. There's a description of what happened. But the Bible is written so that we have four gospels that basically outline from different perspectives the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it was left more deeply to the apostles, the writers of the rest of the New Testament, to explain to us exactly the significance of what happened. Especially in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says to these Corinthians, some of whom had imbibed a Greek philosophy that the body is our problem. So the idea that salvation has to do with the resurrection of a body that is so totally abhorrent, really. Salvation is being set free from the body, they would say. But Paul says, if there's no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. Because when Jesus died, he died for our sins. He died for our sins. If he had not risen from the dead, what would we say? Sin conquered him. The resurrection proclaims he conquered sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid those wages for us. So death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. Satan had done his worst. He thought he had triumphed. But the empty tomb proclaims that Jesus triumphed. He rose, as we sang, victorious over the grave. Because he exhausted the wrath of God that we deserved because of our sins. So as it's put, he's taken the sting, the poison out of death. Jesus has taken despair out of the grave. Jesus has given Satan no ground for his accusations against us. Because we are sinners, aren't we? In that sense, Satan's accusations are true. But we say, Jesus died and rose again from the dead. I quote to you Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. In the context where the word of God says, it's God who justifies us, acquits us. Who can condemn us? It's a question. Is there anyone who can condemn us? The answer is this. It is Christ who died, who rose, who is exalted, and who sits at the right hand of God. That's the answer, my friends. It's the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end. What he has done and where he is now, because he rose from the dead. And I want to urge you then, because these things are true, my friends, believe this today. Don't hold off any longer. He rose. And if you refuse to believe, then those words, even that you hear this morning from his word, they will rise up against you, Jesus says, on the last day. There was a king called Herod. You've read about him in the Gospels. Well, he had a fear of John the Baptist, the prophet. I suspect that when the head of John the Baptist was presented to him on a plate, though he was tinged with sadness, I suspect that he sighed with relief. Whew. I'm not going to hear that mouth any longer telling me that I've sinned. But when reports of the activities of Jesus came to his ears, he was perplexed. Luke 9:9. He thinks, has John the Baptist come back? What a haunting thought, isn't it? I had him executed. But has he returned? And what is he going to say to me? You think then about the Lord Jesus. You know what's written in the scripture, don't you? You know what he claims to be. You know what the witnesses say. But you say, it's all right. He's gone. I don't have to deal with him anymore. But what if he was raised, my friend? And what if he's now alive to fulfill all that's recorded? So we were driving along this morning. We saw a police motorbike stopping two cars on the M57. It's a bit strange to see this motorbike weaving. Of course, if any ordinary motorbike had done that, you'd just ignore it, wouldn't you? But when you see that the man on the motorbike's got blue flashing lights and he's wearing yellow, and at the back, I suppose the front, says police, then they dutifully went on to the side and stopped. It matters who it is, doesn't it? There was a man who believed that Jesus was a blasphemer. And he was out to destroy every Christian who followed Jesus. Until one day, on the road to Damascus, the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him. And that changed everything. Because he saw he had been deluded. He was an unbeliever. He was a rebel against God. Because Jesus had risen from the dead. And that proved to him that Jesus is the promised Savior and the returning judge that he said he would be. Are you going to leave it till that day of judgment, where you will see him and every knee will bow? Your knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Your tongue will confess because you'll see him as he is. But then it's too late, my friend. You're hearing the word of God this morning as you hear it over and over again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him and you will be saved. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that's recorded. Please now send your Spirit to us, that we might know that this is true, believe it with all our hearts, and follow you today and until we draw our last breath. Please bless your word among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.